there is no way to learn without actively reaching out for that help. That would be my best advice ever, extending far beyond lashing, is just ask questions. Even if it's something you're not too confused about, if it's something you just need clarification on, you just need reassurance on even, ask those questions. It shouldn't be something that's so scary, and no one's going to see you any different if you ask them a question.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater, and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe!
Hey, Lash friends, and welcome back to the Untamed Podcast. This is Anne-Marie, and I am excited for this episode because I will be interviewing our creative and marketing coordinator, Mackenzie. Now, you may have seen her on our Instagram page creating fun reels, or maybe you've spoken to her in the DMs or seen her comments on your page. Maybe you caught her in a live, but now it's time to learn more about Mac and her journey as a lash artist turned marketing coordinator. So welcome, Mac.
Ooh, hi, Anne-Marie.
Well, thanks for being here and letting me just do an open interview with you today. I'm really excited for everyone to get to know more about you.
How fun. I'm excited too. This is wild. Much about me, but you see me like every day.
I know. It's going to be good. Let's get into it. Let's start by me just asking, why lashes? Like, how did you get into the lash industry?
Okay. I like it. So it is a bit of a funny story because I wasn't someone who was like diehard lash fan where I was just getting lashes all the time. I really had only gotten lashes once and I barely knew what they were. My older cousin was coming to Hawaii with me and I was like, what? You have these things? Like lashes? What's that? And then once I found out that she was getting them and kind of figured out what they were just a little bit, I was like, if you have lashes on the beach, then I want lashes on the beach. So I went and got lashes and laid there for all those hours, and I was super confused as to why everything was taking so long, and I thought they were going to damage my natural lashes and everything. I was just a walking myth right there. But I was definitely obsessed with them, but it was still just kind of a vacation thing. And it was my grandma that made me want to do lashes. I never thought about it before, but I came home with these lashes. My grandma was obsessed. She loved them. And we're having dinner and she's just like, hey, Mac, why don't you just do lashes? And I was so confused. She's like, well, you're creative, you know, you're artistic and you love beauty. But I was 17 and I was like, so confused if that was something that I could even do. I had no idea. Well, spoiler alert, you could do that in my area at least. So yeah, after that, I was just obsessed. I was like scrolling those YouTube videos like there was no tomorrow. And I realized I knew someone who did lashes. So I texted my friend Maddie and asked her to spill it all. And she did. And to my luck, she recommended me an educator. I went to her and here we are.
Oh, I love it. Now, what do you love most about lashing?
Oh, I think creative outlet for sure. I think that throughout high school, I definitely lost a lot of that creativity because I was just focused on other things. It wasn't something that I guess prioritized. So lashing really gave me that. And I think that was really exciting, kind of lit up that spark in me. And another thing is just generally making people feel beautiful. I mean, sometimes all it takes is a little something to pull it out of them and kind of make them appreciate their other features and almost see their face as a whole, rather than picking apart all the things you don't like about it. So I think that was really cool for me.
Oh, that's absolutely beautiful. I think that that's like a really special moment that we get to have with our customers. I absolutely love that too. It's such a good mindset you have on that. Now you mentioned that grandma kind of set this thought in your head to do lashes, but when you're looking back at little Mac, was it evident that you would take this path at all? Or was this like completely surprising when you really reflect back?
Complete surprise. Nothing in my head said I was going to end up in anything beauty related. I actually was so set on going to university and doing the whole, I guess, let's say traditional route. I was so set on it. Why? I didn't really know. There wasn't a career or anything that told, like, I really wanted to do this in university. It wasn't even like that. It was just, I need to go. That's just something that I need to do in my life. Because I felt like I had to, I guess. I remember in grade 12, I was so stressed because it was university applications were going down. And I'm sitting there. I peer tutored this class and they were all grade 8s. I felt so bad for them. They're just entering high school. And I'm sitting there on the whiteboard of this class, mapping out every possibility of anything that I could possibly want to do. I had like orthodontics. I was definitely set on being an orthodontist or a therapist. Those were like the two big things. And then I had lashes on there. And the one thing that the teacher that I was peer tutoring for, he said, he goes, when I look at all these things, I see like the common thread between everything is making people feel their best. And I was like, huh, you're right. I never actually thought of it that way. And I was like, well, with lashes, I can do that. And I have more freedom to do that on a larger scale, depending on where I go with it. So that was kind of where that final decision was made. But it was a surprise. Aww.
It's a surprise, but as you tell the story, I'm like, not as much of a surprise, but kind of. You could tell that it's something that's always just been on your heart, is like wanting to help uplift others. And that's a beautiful thing. So, oh, your journey is so sweet, Mac.
I know, it's cute. It's a cute little one.
I know, I think it's super cute. Now, as you know, there aren't many lash artists that work behind the scenes of the lash industry like you do. Can you take us through your journey from, you know, vacation, getting lashes on, now all of a sudden you're a lash artist? And then you decide to work more on the HQ side as the marketing coordinator. How did this come about? And what is it like being on the back end?
Yeah, I think definitely it was a crazy transition and something that I wasn't expecting to happen. I was just a little lash artist sitting in my basement, is how I felt. You know, that whole imposter syndrome thing that a lot of us feel is just like, who am I? Like, I just kind of do this thing on my own, especially as a solo artist. You know, there's not really many people to even chat about it with.
Right.
So I really found UA through Instagram, and that was super cool. I was immediately obsessed. I noticed that they were local to me. I started following Cheryl. I was all kinds of excited and talking to her more. And I really got to know kind of the whole idea that a brand isn't this ginormous pedestal. It's real people behind it. And I think that that was something that my brain didn't really grasp at the time. And I was so scared to even apply to our old ambassador program at the time that I almost didn't. And I was sitting there with my best friend, and she tells me, she's like, Mac, seriously, it's an application. What do you have to lose? Like, the worst thing is that they just don't accept you. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you. And I was like, yeah, but like, I'm going to be so upset if I don't get accepted. And like, artists are so huge and their sets are beautiful. And I've been lashing for maybe like a year and a half. Like, I was still pretty fresh and not feeling ultra confident about my sets either. I'm like, Aaron, there's no way I'm going to get picked. And all of a sudden, I got a message from Cheryl, and I was like, what? I think like my little fangirl self definitely went a little crazy over that one. And basically just kind of started showing up more, offering my help here and there. And all of a sudden, ended up in marketing. I think that I gained more confidence in making those reels and such, and kind of started experimenting more and more. And it kind of became bigger and bigger from there, and trying new things. So yeah, definitely I've learned a lot from looking at the back end compared to being an artist.
Oh, I bet it's quite different. What is one thing that really surprised you working on the back end of the industry?
Oh my gosh, so many things. First thing, just being the sheer amount of work that goes into every single product. And also the crazy amount of issues that can arise along that. I feel like when I wasn't involved in it, it was kind of like, oh, okay, they put out a product, it's good, awesome. It must have been like, you know, work to design it and manufacture it somewhat, but not like something that takes this long, that takes so many different people working on it and offering opinions on it, choosing like what we're actually going to do as a team, and also with our community. And I guess that's something that we are really proud of, that we've been able to not only have all of our team's voices, but also the lash community's voices as a whole. I think that was super, super surprising to me. It's just, especially our sustainability launch, just really seeing every single step of it. I've never been involved in a product launch like that. So that was very shocking to me and very impressive, but also like, wow, I thought this was way easier. In a good way, though. It's fun.
It is interesting. It's definitely not easy. Now, there's things that could be easier. You know, if you're not innovating, it's a lot less work, but it's still a ton of work. But the innovations that we launched, the sustainability, man, that was a lot of work.
And I think that even as a solo artist, I saw brands like ours just be so gigantic, like having just a million employees mulling over every single detail. And I think that that was something that really surprised me, is that like, there's really a few people behind these things. And I think that brings up such an interesting thing to note of like, the amount of followers you have really doesn't indicate anything about you as a brand or even as a creator, which kind of makes me think about influencer culture, that it is these in the lash industry too, but it's these brands and these people that we really do place on massive pedestals. But at the end of the day, none of us have any idea what's going on. And it is kind of a toxic culture to glamorize all of that, I guess. But, you know, we were chatting about this earlier in our personal time, but that I grew up on Instagram. I grew up with social media being a very prominent part of my life. So yeah, it does come naturally to me, but that's not always necessarily a good thing. Like, something that I think I gained confidence with quickly, but it's also, you have to be so mindful that all of those cultures don't get in your head too much, especially when it comes to something like that influencer type culture. That I just remember getting so excited when a brand would comment on my picture compared to someone who was just a solo artist or something like that. And I sat there after working here, or while working here, just thinking like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm the one commenting on your photos. So what difference is it when I'm commenting from a UA account or from my personal account? Having that back-end perspective was really shocking to me, to just say, I get it, because I was that artist that got super excited when it was a brand compared to a person. But why does that compliment mean so much more when there's a big following attached to it? Something to think about.
I like it. Cheryl talks a lot about how we all want to be seen. And it's interesting because, of course, we want to be seen. But I love your example of, you know, the value of a comment if it comes from a bigger following.
That's
great. And that's something that's really interesting to me, and something I like working on with you at UA personally, is working with the community and not only looking for those giant followings. Because yes, they're impressive. Yes, that's great. Like, congratulations. But there's a lot of really good quality artists who have a lot to offer, don't have those massive followings. And that's completely okay too. And honestly, if we think about it, like, you post your picture, you have three people commenting something nice. Like, you imagine if you just like went to get coffee and you had three people like compliment something that you did or you were wearing, like, that's a good day. And social media sometimes numbs that for us. So it's really like nice to hear your perspective, because I know you are young and you grew up with social media. So that's had to be a really interesting thing to overcome. Do you have any advice for anyone who's getting like really sucked down that hole and, you know, they're not feeling like they're worthy because they're not getting seen or commented on from large brands?
I think that it really is understanding that your work is your own. And if you're putting out something that you're proud of, that's what matters. I think that once I started seeing my personal lash account as something that I was excited about, I was making content that I was excited about. I was thinking, yeah, being mindful of what's going to appeal to my target audience. But at the end of the day, I would not make it if it didn't make me happy. And that was almost that fulfillment aspect for me. Like, I would make some reels that was like, I know this is probably not going to perform great, but it made me feel good to make them. And I enjoyed making them, and I enjoyed putting that type of content out. So really, if that's not getting the recognition that you think it will, it's kind of another thing to consider of, why do you feel as though that validation is needed? You know, you're the one putting it out there. I think that it's really getting out of your head and just say like, look, I'm proud of this. That's validating enough. And whatever anyone else says is kind of just extra. It's a nice compliment. And at least I kind of almost see it as more genuine in a weird way. Of that, if I'm used to getting no comments and I get one comment, I'm going to feel so good that I got that comment. Or if I'm getting hundreds of comments and my next post I get 5. Those 5 comments really feel so genuine. And I think that it's just really doing things for you rather than other people, as much as that is very tricky when you're marketing, especially on social media. But in everything you do, make sure something you're putting out is what you are proud of, what you enjoy, what you like, and what's authentic to you. And the rest will follow from there.
So good. I just already know in this moment, I'm just like in my mind hearing my phone going off of people saying like, wow, Mac is incredible. That's really good advice. And, you know, you're not going to flex on yourself, but you've been viral a few times. And so the fact that you can keep your like head so grounded is really amazing because, you know, you could easily get caught up in trying to chase that. And the example of like the 100 comments versus the 5 on the next one, this algorithm's hard. It's really like messing with our minds. It's like up, down, all around. You know, you put a lot of work into something you are proud of, and then it doesn't get a lot of comments, but you're still proud of it. But then you're like, dang, I really thought it would get recognized. And then you start comparing like, blah, it's so toxic out there. So I'm glad to like know you and have support. If I ever start feeling some kind of way, I'm going to message you. Get me right back on track, Mac.
I mean, y'all can see our reels. We've had some that are viral, some that aren't so viral, and that's okay. You know, I've made them all.
That's always so surprising, though, some of them. I think that's the interesting thing. With your career, Mac, did you have any challenges that you faced on your journey? And if so, what did you learn and what advice do you have?
I think definitely a ton of challenges, but I think one thing that I learned a lot from making that great transition between being a solo lash artist to working in a brand was asking questions. Because I think a huge challenge for me was just how intimidating that is. I've never experienced anything like this. And now all of a sudden I'm around all of these very amazing artists, like these incredible people that are so good at what they do. And I did not have the experience that, say, like you or Cheryl do, right? So that came with so much of like educating myself and really leaning on our team for help to learn those things. Because obviously, if I'm going to be demonstrating things to everyone, I'm going to want to do it right. And I'm going to want to make sure I'm giving you the best information possible. But at the time, I didn't know all that information. A lot of it was really learning myself and putting in the work. But I've just always hated asking for help. I'll say it. I hate it. I hate it so much. I want to be
now I know.
Learn it all by myself. I want to just be able to figure it out. But I've learned how to do that because, yeah, maybe I am asking you or Cheryl something that might sound so dumb in my head. Just a question that's like, Mac, you should know this. But at the end of the day, there is no way to learn without actively reaching out for that help. That would be my best advice ever, extending far beyond lashing, is just ask questions. Even if it's something you're not too confused about, if it's something you just need clarification on, you just need reassurance on even, ask those questions. It shouldn't be something that's so scary and no one's going to see you any different if you ask them a question.
That's really good advice, Mac. I'm still asking questions and I will always ask questions. No surprise, probably to anyone. I'm very inquisitive. I definitely ask a lot of questions. And sometimes there are questions, like you mentioned, like I should probably know, or something that I knew and I'm drawing a blank, or like, why am I confused in the moment? But I think it's important. Try to like soak up information from others. Stay open-minded. It's just such a mature mindset that you have. It's really, really cool. I'm just like taking notes over here. I'm like, this is great.
I think it's definitely very important even in lashing to think that, you know, you are getting so much information from all over the place, especially with how much innovation has happened in the lash industry. It's kind of like, well, what do I trust? And I think that being very inquisitive is how you really have gotten yourself to where you are, is asking those questions that no one's asking, because that is how you be better. And that's how you kind of not just learn, but understand things as a whole. You know, even things, some things in lashing, technically speaking, you can do a good set without knowing some of the science behind adhesive.
Right.
But knowing that science, first of all, helps you look more professional. It helps you provide that for your client. It helps you like understand the way, why you're doing what you're doing. I feel like that's a big thing for me, is that I never really understood why I was doing what I was doing, and kind of, I was doing all the steps, but I didn't really understand the why behind that. And I think that definitely impacted my sets, that at the time I was just kind of doing it to do it rather than understanding what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, how this is actually going to benefit me, how this is going to benefit my client, and how it's going to benefit the set. I think that was a huge switch for me.
That's actually really interesting. Now, how did you start learning this stuff and navigate all the different information in the industry? Because there is misinformation, and there are people who are really well respected in this industry that maybe are teaching something that's outdated or, you know, has been changed. Like, how do you navigate that? How do you balance the information, asking questions, doing your own research? How do you get grounded with all that? Because it's a lot, Mac.
It's super hard. At the end of the day, it's very hard to know what to trust. I think a lot of it is really having an open mind. And I think for us, I'm sure a lot of us at UA can say this, is that we're pretty science rooted. If you can give me a really good scientific argument, I can't really argue with that.
Good point.
I'm going to trust that, right? And I think it's also almost a level of skepticism to challenge it, to challenge a new product. Say like, okay, so how good is this thing really? Why is it this good? I think that that's something we definitely focus on, is allowing you to understand. We're very transparent in everything that we do, to show you exactly the process that has come into this product, why it is the way it is, and all the intentional details we put in them.
And that's one of the things that I really like about working with you, is that you start thinking about why, you know? So maybe in the past, like, you didn't think to ask those questions when you were learning lashing, or you didn't want to ask for help, but now you think about, well, why are we doing it that way? Yeah. And you start to question that, because you want to make sure that what we're putting out, or if you're building it for social media, anything like that, that it makes sense why we're doing it. So asking questions can really, really help, because I always think of whatever it is as it's in a circle. And we try to walk around the entire circle to see all the different perspectives of what we're looking at. Or it could even be a globe and you're walking. So now it's even like so many more perspectives. And as one person, it's really hard to just cover that whole area. So to anyone listening who's a little shy to like try to learn more, ask questions, it helps. And questions we get in the DMs and emails, everything, you know, sometimes we're kind of like, wait a minute, like, let's pause, let's think about that. Things grab us or catch our attention, catch us off guard too. And most of the time, like, we try to prepare to see all these different perspectives, but you can't always. So I think that being inquisitive is a really good quality, and just trying to gain that education as best as you can. And you have to stay open-minded, like you mentioned, Mac, that this industry is innovating quickly. Now, what is something that you want to see in the lash industry in upcoming years? And it could be anything.
Oh, okay. I think I have two main pillars. And
let's hear it.
Things would be things that we are putting effort into, because at the end of the day, we want to promote positive change in this industry. And if that starts with us, then we are beyond happy about that. So number one, 1000% will always be sustainability. And I'm so proud of how far we've come in our sustainability journey, and also how much more we have to do. There's still more that we want to do. There's still more we're going to keep pushing ourselves and keep challenging ourselves. I think all of us here can definitely say that we love a challenge.
Absolutely.
Oh, we just love it. So pushing that envelope of sustainability, how far can we really go? I mean, even those, like, the packing peanuts that we have, I would have never even thought that that existed. But again, asking those questions to say, is this even possible? Is this something we can find? Is this something we can do? Is this something we can create, even down to the fine details? So I would love to see lash artists definitely keeping an eye on sustainable products, trying their best to reduce waste in their studios. I know that it's hard, because our industry does produce a lot of waste. That's the way it is. That's beauty. It's a lot of waste, but that doesn't mean that we can't make positive changes. And that starts with what you are carrying in your studio, what you're using, and also just specific techniques. I mean, like, even, I don't want to be shady. I'm not going to be shady.
Be a little shady. We're here for it, Mac. This is the Get to Know Mac episode. No.
Plastic lash trays have got to go. And I'm not into it. I don't need to see any more of that. I need, honestly, our entire industry to do better, so that there is more available for the lash artists to be able to make better choices for their business and for our planet. that's going to be definitely something that I predict we'll see more of, and I very much hope we see more of, and that we will continue to do more of. I'm very excited about that. And my second one is community. I think that we are getting better, but there always will be more work to do as a industry as a whole. I think that we've gotten so much better at supporting each other rather than being super competitive. And it actually does benefit you. I think that sometimes people are so scared of competition that they forget how impactful a community is. So we'll always be community over competition. And I think that seeing more of that is really beautiful. And even just, I posted a story the other day of our girl Maddie. She had a beautiful lash set, posted on her story, and another artist commented on it and was telling me how beautiful it was. And I was like, wow, I need to go show this over to Maddie. That is so kind that you aren't just complimenting us, you know? Like, you're making sure to go out of your way to compliment someone that might not even see this message. You just need to let me know that you think this set is beautiful. And I think that's so awesome. And I sent it over to her and she was so honored and she was thrilled about it. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I just felt so warm and fuzzy about it. I love it.
I love that. So it's also the community within just like the whole lash industry as a whole with the brands, but even just to one another, which I think is really cool. I love what you're looking forward to in the industry. And I think your predictions are right. I think it's time. It's something that we all need to get on. We need to get on the sustainability train. We need to be nicer to one another. I mean, I guess you don't have to, but
it honestly makes your life a lot easier. We had a blog on this a while ago. And I was like, huh, yeah, positive mindset. This is where it's at. Because honestly, mm-hmm. if you're kinder to people, your mindset is better. You can do your best work. And also when you have support from one another, you will do better in your own personal life. When you have that kind of camaraderie in a way, it is such a beautiful thing. And it's so, so powerful for you personally and for us as a whole. One person is never going to do as well as a team collaborating on something, even when that's collaborating on your own individual businesses. Cool.
That's so true. Yeah, I really like that. Mac, listening to you is why I feel like UI is just like the love brand. I keep saying that. It's kind of weird, but like it is. Like it's all about like compassion and love and support and kindness and giving back, you know, all the good things.
So though, it's my favorite thing ever. I love, love, love seeing all your sets and hyping them up. It makes me happy. I'm like, I get excited to see all of the new creative faces in the industry, even the old faces kind of doing something new, trying new things. Everything is constantly evolving in our industry. And even when it comes to something like marketing, there's so many different things that our followers do that I sit there and I'm like, wow, nice.
No, same.
And we'll send each other stuff all the time and just be like, look how good they're doing. I feel like a little cheerleader. I get so excited about it.
This is like the perfect example for anyone who's listened to some of the other episodes. I'm just going to plug it of like finding the right fit for your business and hiring for like a good culture fit in your company. Like Mac, you're just like the epitome of everything that UA like strives to be. It's awesome. She's like, It really makes a difference. You know, there's like a balance of finding talent when you're hiring. And this relates to for your studio, for a brand, anything. It's like talent and then also just like what fits with the brand values. And I mean, I think that's exactly what Cheryl probably saw in you. Is you're just like adorable. First off, the video you made back when you were applying to be a part of the ambassador program back then was so cute. I just love it.
Such a little throwback.
I want to like tag it in the show notes so everyone can see Mac then versus what she's doing on our page now. It's just, it's amazing. It's so cute to see.
It's cute. I was getting so excited about my UA products. I was just bouncing off the walls. It was awesome. And which is funny because we still are like that. I don't know if any of you caught a live with Anne-Marie and I where we were talking about products. Wow. Those pre-mades, the lash trays, the micro grips, you saw us bouncing off the walls about it. And honestly, you're probably like, is this really real?
This is us.
Honestly, I don't think we've ever been so excited about anything. That was awesome. That was our favorite thing ever. So I think that you guys can definitely tell at this point that we really will only put out something that we are extremely proud of. So it does excite us as much as it excites you, if not more sometimes.
Mac, this is such a feel-good episode. Now, with all this positivity, I want to ask, what are you looking forward to the most in your career?
Ooh, that's a fun question. I think that genuinely just learning more. I definitely did have a big step of choosing a non-traditional route to stick with lashes. And I love learning. I think that might have been the thing partially pulling me towards university. It's only the learning aspect, but you can learn so much without having a degree. I think that's something that I've definitely learned. So I genuinely am just excited to learn more about myself, more about the industry, and learn more ways that we can really make an impact. I think that I'm the most excited to see as we grow, as we're doing well right now. I'm excited. Learning really always will be number one to me. So I think facilitating that innovation, the education, those community vibes are all things that I'm beyond excited about. That's something I'll always be looking forward to. And there's a lot of causes that we really do care about. And now with a little bit of growth, we're able to use our platform more towards those things that we care about, those things that matter to us, that matter to our community. It's like mental health, our earth. We have the freedom to be able to do more of that. And I'm really excited to see how much of an impact that we can make in the industry, but also outside of the industry, just in our world in general. We're always going to be people first. And that's something that will forever be exciting to me, and all the ways that we can make that happen and be more and more people first. I think it's just, no matter what, all I could ever ask for in my career is to be able to make people's lives better. Whether that's me personally doing a lash set and making you smile, making your day, that's all I need. Or if it's on a larger scale now, we have the ability to do bigger things. And I think that's something to always be mindful of, is you have that platform. If you can do good with it, please try your best. Even if it's so small, even if it's just making someone smile that day, if it's leaving a nice comment, those things have impact. But now we can do more and support more causes that we really do care about. So I'm excited for that. I'm really excited for that. I know that's not super personally my career, but learning more and learning how to do better in everyday life will always be what I want.
I love that so much. And I think it's like well aligned with what we get to do at Untamed Artistry, because I relate so much to a lot of what you're saying. And I really appreciate Cheryl for giving us that freedom that we can give back and we can do these things. It's important to her, and she's built a team that's important to all of us as well. And I love that. It seems like no matter what you do in your career, it's always going to be aligned in love, compassion, kindness, all the good things I keep saying. That's just who you are at your core. And how cool that you found a way to do that now. You know, a lot of times people go so long before they can really get truly aligned with their purpose or something that aligns with them just in general. So it's very cool, Mag.
Exactly. I remember saying, once I started lashing, I loved it so much that I said, I'd never want to stop lashing and work for someone unless it was A, lash related, check, or B, I had an opportunity to do more for other people. And I got that opportunity. I'm able to make more of an impact than I would have before. And that's so incredible. And I'm so thankful for that opportunity. It's awesome.
I'm going to cry over here.
Are we going to have a moment? Is this an emotional episode now?
It's emotional for me. Because so much of what you're saying just like resonates like so deep in my soul that I'm like, yes, yes, yes. It's the things that keep us going, you know? You mentioned earlier, these projects are not easy. You know, it's a lot easier to find something, stick a sticker on it, and sell it. It's not easy to go through what we're going through. It's not easy to have some of the hiccups we've had along and just getting into that fair trade, getting into the sustainability, all of those different pillars that we're aiming to like really accomplish. It's hard. And so remembering and staying truly aligned to those pillars and then or like ourself, I think is really cool. So I'm emotional over here, guys. Mac is just such a delight. I'm telling you.
I just want everyone to know too that their kindness is very important to us. I know we talk a lot about trying our best to spread kindness and promote that, but our community seriously misses us with all of this. I can't even tell you the amount of times that I've seen the sweetest message in our DM or on our post, and I've sent it over to our team, and we've all just been here and been like, wow, that's literally today's checkmark of you need to keep going. That's today's push to say, keep going. You're on the right track. This is meant to be happening. You are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I think it's just that reassurance that comes from our community all the time is so wonderful. And it's just really makes our hearts warm. I think that we try to provoke warm fuzzies. We try to throw the warm fuzzies out at you, but you guys bring them right back to us. And we couldn't be more thankful about that because we are people, you know?
Yes, you're right. Human-led brand.
We have this giant brand that your things don't get passed down. We literally look at your message all as a team and we'll just sit there and be so happy. And it's wonderful. And just your words have impact everywhere you go in your life. We recognize that ours do, which is why this is all so important to us. And your kindness is greatly appreciated. And I just had to say that because we've been getting some really, really kind messages.
I've been saving them. I've been crying about them. You send them over, we're all like, oh, and then I'm like,
at this point, we need a new chat just for sweet messages. So we
yes, can- I definitely save those things. They definitely mean a lot. You guys just, Mac, it's so nice of you to like shout everyone out like that. Because they do mean the world. Like, you know, you work really hard and when you're going against the grain and it's not easy. And then Mac, like, this is like a newer journey for you this year. So it's like, it's new. You're trying to gain experience. You have questions that you want to ask. You're doing an amazing job. You're getting all this stuff going. It's a lot coming at you at once. So you're having to balance all of this and then all of the difficulties. And then there's the kind messages that come in. So again, another roller coaster to be on. So I can really understand how those like kind responses really help keep you uplifted.
Yeah, it gets chaotic, but it deserves the biggest thank you ever because it really does keep me going. And that's why I am so happy to have so much involvement in that.
Now, aside from the sweet moments from the community, because I know you would put this in your answer, what are some other moments you cherish in your career? And what are you most proud of so far that you've accomplished?
One moment I cherish, I do have one story that I think will almost encapsulate Lashing for me as a whole, because I don't think I'll ever forget this moment that I had with a client. And seriously, it was just my whole being was like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. As I said, you know, I just wanted to help people with any career. And I did her lashes. It was a very natural set. It was her first time that she'd ever gotten extensions before. And she sat up, she got up, looked at her lashes, and she just had this blank stare. She was looking in the mirror and she almost seemed zoned out, but also hyper-focused all at the same time. And I was really confused because it'd been, and I'm not exaggerating, like a good 5 minutes of this. And she didn't say a word. I'm like, oh, like, do you like your lashes? Now I'm all nervous.
Yeah, you're like, what am I going to do?
Pretty good job on those, but guess not. I'm freaking out. I'm internally freaking out. And she looked at me and she's like trying not to cry. I'm like, oh my gosh, are they that bad? Like, I'm so sorry. And she said, I've never felt beautiful until this moment. And that was what I mentioned earlier, was seeing your face as a whole. And she was the one who taught me that, is that she said, I always look at my face and I pick out everything individually. You know, I don't like this corner of my lip. I don't like how big my nose is. This eyebrow, my eyebrows aren't even, you know? She said, I always pick out, I've never seen my face as a whole. She goes, when I look at my face as a whole, I feel so beautiful. And this girl moving forward did not even get lashes all the time. It wasn't like almost that she felt all of a sudden that lashes were what was making her beautiful. She would get them for special occasions and such. And she came and she said, ever since that moment, I even feel more beautiful when I don't have lashes. And that was something that was so impactful to me. And it just hit me right in the heart. I started crying in the studio.
Yeah.
It was that was a moment for me. And, I'll never forget it. And I think that's my biggest moment that I've cherished and really does show everything that I'm proud of, I guess. And now being able to do that on a larger scale, I think is something that I'm incredibly proud of. And I'm very proud of this launch, clearly, because I've been talking about it so much. I'm very, very proud of all of this, and I'm proud of our team. I'm proud of everything we're doing right now. It's all very exciting to me. And I never thought that I'd be able to do any of that, so it's pretty cool.
You're so talented and so humble about it.
Stop it.
Your story with your client is so sweet. Like, thank you for sharing that. I think that a lot of the listeners would be able to relate to that. And maybe they've noticed that, like, for me anyway, it's like sometimes the clients start doing less and less. Like, they're starting to wear less makeup. They're starting to, you know, they're cutting back on things because they're really starting to accept themselves. It's this moment of like transformation of just confidence. And I love that. And it doesn't always make sense to people who don't do what we do, right? Like, they don't get it. They don't understand. They think like the beauty industry is shallow because it can be, you know, but there is a whole nother side to it of just like self-love and acceptance. And I think that that's really cool that the story that popped in your mind is about that. It just speaks volumes about who you are as a person. And Mac, I'm most proud of you for so many things. So to brag on you. But I think that what's really cool is, you know, we had our marketing manager, Sydney, who had a beautiful baby boy, and she's out on maternity leave. Yes. Shout out to Sydney. I hope she's listening. Baby Brogan. So cute. And like before that, you were supporting her in like content creation. And then with her taking her maternity leave, you've really been able to like step up into a whole new position, be totally adaptable, and take like a plan that she gave you, create your own system as well, and really just take feedback, provide feedback to us too. And just, it's been this beautiful like growth and collaborative opportunity that you've just taken off of in such a short amount of time. And it is just like, whoa, you know, like how you mentioned that you can learn a lot without having to go to college necessarily. And you are like beyond proof of that. And you teach others along the way too. And I think that that's something I'm really proud of. So just wanted to brag on that. It's not on like the little question list, but I'm like, no, I want to tell everyone what I'm most proud of with Mac.
You're going to make me cry now. No, I'm definitely very proud of that. I think that one of my biggest strengths is adaptability. And even if I have no clue what's going on, I'm going to give it my best go and figure out how to make it work in whatever way that is and how we can make it work as a team. So thank you. That was big. That was scary. But we did the thing. I remember when it was offered to me and I was like, ooh, I don't know about this. I don't know if I can do this, but I gave it my best.
We accidentally did the thing of just like doing too much.
We love trying to do too much, but it's okay.
We all do that. And when you get excited for an opportunity, it's like, we'll go all in on it and we'll be excited. But, you know, Mac went from being like content creator and doing a huge chunk of time with that to adding these other responsibilities. So it has been a journey, a challenge, and something that I feel like you've overcome pretty quickly. It's been pretty impressive to manage your schedule and back it off. And I know that we're still going to be working on it. You and I both, we're going to hold each other accountable for 2023. It's just so everyone knows, like behind the scenes too, we're having that same thing that you guys are having as lash artists, studio owners, wherever you're at in your career, just trying to balance everything we have going on, you know?
And also knowing your kind of point of how much work is too much work. Like, when do I really need a break? When do I need to take this time? I think that's the lash artist in all of us. I'm just thinking, balance that. And you sometimes just want to be like, okay, I'm just going to power this out for whatever. But you do need to take breaks to do your best work. And, you know, that performance is all that's in your head and that's all that matters to you. Just recognize that you need those breaks or you will not be able to perform at your best.
So what do you do for breaks? Like, how do you balance that? How do you make yourself stop and go, okay, I need to get up. I need to do something else. Like, what are your tips for that? Not asking for me. I'm asking for me. Tell us.
My biggest quick break, I have a few, but taking time off to do something that's fun to you that really has nothing to do with work. I think that's something that's very important. But within your day, I do a lot of things that are active. I think that's where I found that my brain is kind of able to take a break, but then also feel ready to come back to it. Because sometimes I feel like if I walk away from something, then I won't be able to get my brain back into the mode to be able to work on it again. So doing something active is where I can kind of keep my brain almost on like a high mode without thinking about what I'm actually doing. So whether it's going for a quick walk around the block, I like to listen to music and do a little dancey dance. That would be my definite favorite. Music definitely fuels me. It's something that has always pushed me further. So doing a little dance, getting a little bit of energy back in me. I know it seems kind of counterintuitive, but getting a little bit of physical activity in the middle of my day, just breaking it up a bit after sitting down for so long, has been so helpful for me. Another thing is that if I'm trying to work on something, it's just not working. You know, sometimes you're looking at something, you're like, this should be easy. Looking at this thing, doing whatever I'm doing, this should be a very easy project to do, but for some reason it's not right now. It's literally just changing, bringing myself somewhere else, whether that be a cafe or whether it be a different room in my house or going outside, whatever it is, just change something. I know I do not work well in mess, and I work on my vanity table a lot of the time, which is also where I do my makeup. If I don't clean that makeup, I will lose my mind. I will not be able to work. So it's kind of understanding what you need individually, and that what you need might not be what someone else needs. You might need an extra break here or there, and it's okay to need those things, and you shouldn't feel guilty about needing to have a break.
Oh, those are great, great tips. I like it. It's figuring out how you work. I love that. That's a great takeaway from it. And I think that that's one thing that I think is going to become more and more common in work culture, is it's not about a set strict schedule necessarily. It's about getting your workload done. Now, of course, when we take clients, we have to hold ourselves accountable, guys. But I think that's really cool that you found a good balance for you. And taking time off is a huge thing too. I think that that's a really good takeaway and something that you love traveling, right? So I'm glad that you're able to like take time and do that as well. Not sacrifice like what we like to do personally because we're just only working. Because, you know, for me, I love what I do, of course. So It's very easy to be like, well, I love doing that. Like, I exactly. want to spend my time working, but I also want to spend my time on hobbies. So really good takeaways, Mac. Thank you for sharing.
Of course. It's crazy too, because when I was just lashing, I was lashing so much for a lot of it that I would literally, someone asked me once what my hobbies were. And I sat there and I was like, whoa, I don't have hobbies. And I didn't even...
Yeah, I've been there.
I never realized that until I was asked that day. That was kind of where I made that switch. And now like working with UA, I have the time to be able to work on my self-development, be able to work on actually being able to enjoy those hobbies, and also be better within my work. So it's all really cool to have those opportunities to be able to do all of those things at once, even though it's a lot to balance. And as a solo artist, you have to force yourself to do it yourself. You have to give yourself that time.
You have to, you have to, you have to.
I'll be nagging.
I wish you guys could see Mac on the screen right now.
I'm pretty animated. It's so funny. You know that.
It's the best. I absolutely love it. Now, Mac, we got some questions from the community, and one of them was, what does Mac like to do for fun? So I want to dive into some of the community questions, starting with that one, since you were kind of talking about hobbies. Tell us, what have you found are your hobbies now?
Okay. Well, I very much found my adventurous side in the past few years. I was a very subdued child, so I definitely found that I all of a sudden took a 180, and I just love adventure. So anything that sounds like an adventure, I am in for. My weekends, I like to scare Emery.
Yeah, well, you have to tell them now. You mentioned it.
It's a good story. Okay, so picture me this, guys. You're Emery, and you get a text Monday morning that says, hey, sorry, I'm not going to make the meeting this morning. Yeah, I'm kind of stuck on a mountain.
Stuck on a mountain. I was like, what?
I also have very limited service. So like, I'm just getting this message through to you right now. What kind of message is that? I don't know. I don't know.
You finally got like a little slither of signal. Let me know, because Mac is responsible, guys. Like, not trying to like figure herself out to get off the mountain. No, she's like, I got to let Anne-Marie know I'm missing a meeting. That's where her head is.
the only thing in my head was like, I need to find service so I can let them know I'm not going to be in this meeting.
And then you show up finally later that day and you're so beat up. You were literally caught on this mountain. So adventure for sure. Makes sense.
I think that's the side that y'all don't really see of me. Weekday, lashes, weekend, I'm probably in the wilderness somewhere or on some sort of adventure in the water. Something like that. That's my thing. There's my fun.
I love it. So the next question I have for you is, where does Mac buy her clothes? Everyone always thinks you look so cute because you do. Like, tell us, give us some insight.
Cute. I don't think I'm overly fashionable, but I definitely appreciate that. I like Okenfort a lot. A lot of my clothes are from there, or Aritzia. I'm trying to think where the rest of my clothes are, but I'd say those are like my big staples that a lot of pieces I have are from, that you would see me wearing over and over and over again, would be those ones.
Nice. Now we know. Next question up is, how is Mac so confident in reels? How does she come up with the ideas?
Confidence, I feel like, has been built over time. I think it really has come from challenging myself over and over and over and over again in doing things that are scary. I'm still scared of doing when we do lives, when we do podcasts. These things feel more scary because I know I can trip up on my words, but that's okay. You know, I think it's still pushing yourself to try those things, to try new things. You know, obviously not so far that it goes out of your own personal boundaries of what you want, but that you're pushing yourself to do a little bit more than you feel completely comfortable with. If that's, let's say, posting a photo of yourself, so you want to try to post a video of yourself this time. It's doing those little steps until it gets easier and easier and easier. And I mean, like, I've made hundreds of reels. I don't even know how many reels I've made, but there's just definitely like a lot on there. So I still sometimes will be like, oh, I don't know if this necessarily looks good, picking it apart in a sense, but it's showing up also. I will not film if I'm not feeling good that day. I think that's huge. You see me probably looking pretty happy and excited. I will not film if I don't feel good that day, because I know that it'll translate. If you see me through the camera and I don't have my usual energy level, you're going to be like, what's wrong with Mac? So I want to make sure that I'm showing up where I feel my best so that you can feel your best when you're watching it. And then, I know, cute, huh?
It's so cute. I'm like, oh, Mac.
How I come up with ideas is whole lot of scrolling TikTok, whole lot of scrolling reels, looking at companies that are outside of our industry is very helpful. Right. Looking at other brands, I obviously love the wilderness. So I look at a lot of like outdoor type brands, and their message often aligns with us too. So I think that those things are always very inspiring to me. And honestly, just watching content over and over and over and over again, and then just thinking, how could I make this lash related? And almost challenging yourself that even if it's a trend that you're like, I would never post this trend, and there's it's really hard to make this lash related, challenge yourself to try to do it, because it gets easier, it gets better, and you kind of become a bit quicker with it. And sometimes I'll have one sound and I'll be like, oh, I could come up with like 20 different reels for this, but obviously you don't want to hear the same sound 20 times over. But it gets easier the more that you try to brainstorm. And I feel like that's been the most helpful way for me to do that.
So good. Now, on the flip of your creative marketing coordinator side is a question about lash artists. So what is your best advice for taking clients from a home studio and building clientele at home?
Ooh, I think that safety is number one. For some of it, I was still inside my house, and some of it I was detached in kind of like a basement suite type thing. But for a while, I was taking clients in my house, which can be very dangerous. I never had my address posted. Obviously, it was registered to my business, but I never posted it and had that as just something that you could just show up. It was very clear on appointment times. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend, honestly, lashing at home, because you do have that safety risk. But doing as many things as you can to protect yourself if you are going to lash at home, and also recognizing that there is risk. Like, stay mindful that there is risk. You have to protect yourself. Having proper insurance too. But I think that that would be my number one thing, is just protect yourself. Be safe. I would always also do a little stock. I didn't have a booking site because I did like talking to people in the DMs, which, funny, because I do that now. But yeah, I actually like talking to people in the DMs and spending time doing that. So I didn't have a booking site. So I kind of gave a little vibe assessment. And there were a few times where I felt a little uncomfortable talking to someone, so I wouldn't take them. So I was like, if I had a studio and this was a public space, then that would be okay. You know, it might be less risky, but I'm not willing to take that risk if you're in my home. I have to kind of trust it. And 99% of my clients were referral-based. So it wasn't too much of a concern for me because I at least knew someone that you knew that I'd lashed before, that there was some sort of trust built up. I think that it was also helpful for me that you see me on my personal page a lot. So it does feel like if you were going to come do me dirty, that you know what's up. But I think it's really protecting yourself. I don't want to say background check, but like doing a little bit of a look as to who you're about to be meeting is important. That this account doesn't look fake too.
Right. That's
huge. Like, I've seen so many times where it's someone that seems kind of like a fake account. And I'm like, I'm just not going to risk this. So those are number one for taking clients at a home studio. And please don't share your address on your page if you also live there. You do not want people showing up at your house thinking that they can just come get lashes whenever they want. I would also give new clients my address the day before. I tell them my area so they could kind of figure out where they're going, but I wouldn't give my address too early until it was kind of secure that it was going down.
Yeah, sounds like there's a lot of like risks to assess with lashing from home, but I definitely have a lot of friends who do, and they've said similar, like they'll have people randomly show up and they have to be very mindful of that. So, and it sounds like referrals is like a good way to build clientele, like just start with a few people and really build from there, because then it becomes like a network or a community versus just an influx of trying to navigate through maybe fake profiles or people who are not going to vibe with you. So
exactly.
Makes sense. So if you lashed more, you wouldn't do from home anymore.
Probably not. If I lash now, I probably wouldn't. Maybe. If I was going...
She's like, actually, now I feel like I could handle it.
If I was going full-time just lashing, then I would definitely have a space just for comfort's sake. But it was nice lashing at home. There's a lot of convenience to it, too. Wow, it was great waking up like 15 minutes before my client got there. That was awesome.
That is so funny. Okay,
you're good to go.
I love it. Oh, Mac, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast and answering all these questions. I am so thankful to know you and that Untamed Artistry just brought us together.
And look at us now.
I know. Oh my goodness. I'm just so thankful for you. I wouldn't be where it is without you. So I can never thank you enough. And you've also impacted me in my personal life as well. You are just such a genuine soul. And again, so thankful to know you. Now, do you mind if I ask you one more question? I know it's just been like constant questions at you, but like, can I ask one more?
Well, now I'm all flustered after that, but
stop.
But of course, you can ask me one final question, Emery, and then you're cut off.
Cut off. Okay, it's a good one. Okay, to leave all the listeners on, what is one piece of advice you would give any young aspiring lash artist who is diving into lashes when those around them are maybe pursuing other careers?
This question is very special to me because that was a big battle for me. Was I felt as though I should go to university. Why? Because I should, you know, because it's expected in a sense. And I had a lot of doubt from a lot of people around me that it's stupid to stay with this little lash thing. Realistically, they didn't understand it. And now they go, oh, you're in marketing? Oh, great. I'm like, yeah, but essentially very right. Similar. It's very similar to things that were happening before. I think my number one piece of advice will always be that you have absolutely nothing to prove to anyone. You can prove things to yourself. That's amazing to challenge yourself and prove that you can do that. But to anyone else, you have absolutely nothing to prove, no matter how much you feel like you do. Your education level does not define your worth and the validity of your career. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. It does not define your intelligence, who you are as a person. Your happiness should come first. And if whatever that career is, if you're sticking with lashing and you're nervous about that when people are doing other things, your happiness comes first. And if that's what's fulfilling you right now, stick with it. If that's what you think will fulfill you in the future, stick with it. Give it a try. If it doesn't work out, again, you can always go back and do other things. But if there's something in you that says, this is a big step, but I want to stick with it, try it.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.